Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now in the studio is Gary Archambault. He's the director of the South Dakota Small Business Innovation Research Program. And Gary, thanks for coming in and being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me back, Kara. It's a long title, I know. We usually just shorten that Small SBIR. Business Innovation Research to SBIR.
SBIR. Well, I wanted to get it out there.
It's important.
As to what the SBIR stands for.
Absolutely.
And it's really a competitive program. So let's start and just talk about what it is SBIR is and what it does.
Okay. SBIR was actually developed under the Reagan administration. The entrepreneurs were saying, if you give us a little bit of the federal research money you're spending at universities, we will actually create jobs and products and tax revenues. And so the program started off with just 1% of the extramural funding, but was so successful in the companies that it helped start up that it has now grown to be 3.2% in the last reauthorization by Congress. Hmm. So it totals almost $3 billion.
Oh my goodness.
Through 6,000 awards across the United States.
Wow. Wow. I mean, and this is quite a lot of money, a nice chunk to get started. I mean, like $300,000 or so.
It depends. There are 11 federal agencies that participate, and every agency runs the program to its suit their needs.
Okay. So
the National Institutes of Health does award $300,000 for a phase one SBIR, which is kind of considered a proof of concept because medical is so expensive to develop. Whereas EPA and USDA award $100,000 because, A, they don't have as much money to award, but a lot of times they're looking at much more applied research rather than kind of basic research. It depends a lot on the agency. And the SBIR program is always operated as a three-phase program. So you start with phase one proof of concept, and it's a six-month project to really demonstrate technical and economic feasibility. If you're successful with phase one, you put in a phase two application, which will grant from $500,000 to $3 million, again, depending on the agency. And then you have 2 years to really develop your prototype and field test them. Now, that takes a lot of different forms depending on what it is that you're developing, but that's a pretty good approximation, prototype development and testing. And then phase three is considered commercialization. And with most of the granting agencies, most of the federal agencies don't buy what they fund, right? USDA doesn't buy things for farmers. It helps to develop things like what David was working on.
For farmers to buy.
Whereas the Department of Defense and NASA, they issue SBIRs because they want something that they can put in for the astronauts or for soldiers.
Right. I understand. So if you get in at phase one, are you guaranteed to go all the way through?
Oh, heavens no.
No.
It's a very competitive program. Yeah. Only one in six phase ones gets funded.
Okay.
And only one in two phase two gets funded.
Wow.
But this, I realize that's actually much better odds than an academic researcher would have. So academics that are making the transition from discovery to business are quite impressed with that. But by going through phase one and phase through two review, now all of a sudden investors that you need at phase three know that, A, you've been reviewed a couple of times, your science is solid, you've received over $1 million in funding to help get your product to the prototype area. So now investors are more willing to come on board and help you really launch your product.
So what is it that you look for? Somebody comes in and sits down and says, have I got me an idea?
That is a great question because that's really where my job starts. I do a lot of promoting in the SBIR, so I get a lot of ideas coming into me. But it really needs to be an idea that is so technically challenging that it is going to take years to develop. You know, if we're developing a new pizza recipe, That's not going to take us 3 years to develop.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's no justification there. So the very first thing is, how technically advanced is the product, and how will it actually address the mission of the agency that's going to do the funding? I have helped a lot of people, well, in talking to David originally, right? His idea was to create this program that adjusted satellite imagery for the crop insurance and the farmers. And NSF, like he's mentioned, passed on it.
Right.
And so he and I had a discussion about what really needs to happen. And he says, well, we need to develop these mathematical algorithms to do all this correction of these different band wavelengths. And I said, that sounds like something NSF would be interested in. So what I do is I help kind of walk through the process and figure out what is fundable by which agency, and then help you put you in contact with that agency.
Can you apply to more than one agency?
So
like David could apply this piece of it to the science side, and this piece of it to the ag development side, and then
right.
work
Once
on
we
one
get
product.
That algorithm really figured out, now he has opportunities to develop applications for USDA.
Right.
USDA also operates the Forestry Service, mm-hmm. so monitoring forest health could be another opportunity besides agriculture. NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Agency, might want it to monitor wetlands along the ocean, along the coasts. So there'll be a lot of different applications.
What does it take to get to the commercialization part?
A lot of hard work. follow through. I've always counseled my people, under promise and over deliver, because that's what we're all satisfied with as customers. And really, those funding agencies are your original customer. They're helping you develop a technology that'll further their mission and help solve problems that they've identified as a national problem.
Now, you're based in South Dakota, and how competitive are these SBIR fundings, dollars, because it's a nationwide program? And so do they try and keep it balanced and fair throughout the country, or...
Well, actually, that's one of the reasons why the SBIR Road Tour mm-hmm. is coming to South Dakota.
And see how I did that?
That was beautiful. What a the SBIR Road Tour will put 22 program managers from different federal agencies on a bus. Monday, they'll be in Oklahoma. Tuesday, it's Kansas. By Thursday, they're in Sioux Falls. And so we'll have the morning to have one-on-one meetings. There'll be a lot of informational seminars, so people that are new to the program can just learn about the program. But if you're farther along, like David is, it's time to really talk to those program managers, not about just what you're doing in phase one, but here's
preparing
what I want to do in
two.
Phase two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, the follow-on. Yeah,
so do you have to? Okay, so this is on May 23rd. When they're in Sioux Falls,
it'll
correct?
Be at the University Center up on North 60th Street.
Okay,
there's a $25 registration fee, which basically covers meal costs, food costs for the event.
So if you search SBIR Road Tour, this is what's going to come up. Sioux Falls. This is what's going to come up as a way to get registered.
Right. If you search, www.sbirroadtour, all one word, .com. That'll take you to really the Small Business Administration's national site, because there will be four road tours this year. The one in the Plain States in May, and then there'll be one in June, July, and August. But that's where to get all of the information, where to register.
And so you get one-on-one time with these agency representatives, or just
yes.
one representative?
You can talk to as many of the agencies as are relevant to your technology. Right? David's technology is not relevant to the National Science Fund or to the National Institutes of Health.
Right.
Right. So
Right.
Or probably, yeah, other agencies. But yes, he'll have an opportunity to talk to as many agencies as he wants.
Okay. And so do you have to have an appointment or how does that work?
It is best to pre-schedule appointments. Once you get registered for the event, then you'll get a follow-up email that says register with which agencies you want to talk with.
Okay.
And it's a first-come, first-served basis. But the federal government is bringing so many program managers that I think I'll be able to basically get an appointment with virtually anybody you want to talk to.
And do you expect new entrepreneurs that you've never really heard from to show up at this road tour to just see what's going on and to make connections?
Yes, I expect.
It's for every level.
It's for every level. I actually have three. I will have a success panel from 12:30 till 1, which will highlight three of the companies that have utilized SBIR and actually advanced to that phase three level. So they're coming because they're always interested in new opportunities at those federal agencies. There'll be people that are looking at phase twos, phase ones. There will be, I'm hoping to have some students, entrepreneurial students. This is the federal government is rebranding this America's Seed Fund.
Oh.
And the SBIR has been so successful in America that it has been copied by close to 20 other countries. So some of the successes that have come out of it, the one that always likes to be prodded out in front of Congress, Qualcomm was a San Diego-based company that used $1 million of NSF and Department of Defense money to really develop the compression software that makes our smartphones work.
Hmm.
Now, how much... Qualcomm now has 17,000 employees. What a success story. But how all of us use our smartphones, mm-hmm. and apps are developed everywhere, whether it's child education or managing elderly people's medications. Mm-hmm. It's just revolutionized what's possible.
And what's your success story in South Dakota? We just have a couple of minutes left.
Well, we've really grown. I've been the SBIR program director for, I think, 18 years now. And when South Dakota, when I first started out, we received very few awards. And at this point, we've really kind of come into our own. I wouldn't say that we're a top producer because that's California and Massachusetts. But South Dakota has really kind of gained respect by a lot of the agencies. We have companies working with Department of Defense and Energy and National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, Agriculture. It's just the list goes on and on.
Hmm.
So it's always an exciting job because I get to hear about people's dreams and the technology that goes with them. And then there are a lot of federal or a lot of state programs that can actually help get you launched. As David mentioned, a company can hire interns, and the state has a Dakota Seeds program that provides up to 50% of the cost of hiring that intern. It has its proof of concept program, which offers a $25,000 loan to kind of get you figured out.
Right. So you know how to when somebody comes to you with an idea, you can say you're not quite ready for me yet, but go here.
Yes.
And get your feet.
Yes, because that SBIR program is so competitive, it really helps when the state has a good background. And I'm part of the Small Business Development Network, mm-hmm. which is a team of 25 people across the state that can do everything from helping you with your business plan and your financial projections to international mm-hmm. sales and manufacturing and federal registrations. We are a one-stop shop.
All right, Gary, I want to thank you for taking time and all your help in this program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary Archambault is the director of the South Dakota Small Business Innovation Research Program.